I'd like to sit as Ian comes to read for us.
Today's reading is from Psalms 118, verses 1 through to 14. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and sent me in a broad place. With the Lord on my side, I do not fear. What can mortals do to me? The Lord is on my side to help me. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in mortals. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surround me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surround me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surround me like bees. They blazed like a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel according to Matthew. It wasn't me, it was you. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 25. It's on page 787 of the Bibles in the pews. Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you that Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it's the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Father, we pray that as we meditate on your word, your spirit will help us to see things that we need for our today. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this morning we've got a new festival, Gratitude Sunday. Thank you, Michael. Gavin and I both looked at the readings for today and couldn't really find much inspiration in them. So I was very relieved when he suggested that we have a new festival, because next Sunday, Christ the King, is sort of the end of the church year. And he thought it was a good idea to look back in thanksgiving and praise the Lord. So that's our psalm for today. I think it would help you, if you've got one near you, to find it, page 492, because I want us just to meditate on this psalm and note what's there, the whole of it. So gratitude. Well, I'm the last person to talk about gratitude. I keep forgetting to say thank you all the time. But anyway, I'm learning. But look at the beginning of the psalm. Now, in Hebrew, you don't use the word very, very much. You just say everything twice. And if you think of the psalms, they very often say something and then they say it in a different sort of way to underline what's important. But look at this psalm. Not twice, but four times. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say that. Let house of Aaron say that. Let those who fear the Lord say that. His steadfast love endures forever. Well, I suppose theoretically we know that's true. As Christians, we should have it in capital letters somewhere. But with the life we live and in the world we're living in, it's not easy, is it? And it's very striking that the next verse says, out of my distress I called on the Lord. Well, that's us, isn't it? We pray when something's gone wrong rather than spontaneously saying, thank you, Lord, it's gone right. Well, if you're like me, you do. I am a terrible snag finder. A family always come when I sort of see a snag. I voice it, of course, being cautious and knowing that snags come along, and sometimes I get shouted down, oh, Dad. But it isn't easy, is it? And it's particularly not easy for us at the moment. Everything's in flux, politically, nationally. Part of the world, parts of the world are on fire with uncontrollable forest fires because of global warming, and Yorkshire is underwater. Two apparently sort of contradictory things, but there's something wrong. There's so many things wrong. There are refugees by the million in the wrong places. There's turmoil, there's wars which smoulder on. So, what does the psalm suggest? Well, first of all, let's thank God it's realistic. Life isn't a, whatever it is, bed of roses for us all. We go through hard times. Look at verse 13. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. When we see difficulties, let's come with a sense of hope, a sense of, well, Lord, what is it you want me to be doing? What is it you want me to be seeing? How is it you want me to be praying about this? We in our family have had a really tumultuous time just this last few months, and it's been very hard to see what God's doing or know what we should be doing and so on. But look at verse 15. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. See, twice. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. We will get through. Last Sunday we were celebrating Remembrance Sunday. I find that very poignant. My dad went off to war in 1942, and I didn't see him till I was six, 1946. And the loss of him was very disturbing to me as a young child, because he was the calm one in the household. He was the one who didn't flap and didn't get anxious. My poor mother, who was left to sort of run the surgery on her own and get the locums in and so on, and endure the bombs and things, she was very, very stressed. I was saved by an apple cottage once. I don't know why I was suddenly bothered, but anyway, my mother was over there at the sink and she was washing up, and I went and I clung onto her round her knees, and it irritated her. It probably was the last straw that morning. And there was a lady who was doing some cooking just opposite, and she came and rescued me and took an apple and pared it and got me to roll out the pastry and made it into a little cottage with a window and with a chimney, which we had for dinner. That's whom the Lord sent that morning. But we do go through terrifying times. Some of us are growing older, and what will that bring? How do we cope with growing older? It's as scary as childhood is when you're growing bigger. And now we're growing older. How will it end? But there's some very interesting clues in this psalm, some quite surprising verses. If you look at verse 22, it's a quote which Jesus used several times in the Gospels. It's, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." Now, that's written certainly hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. But it obviously resonated with him. Maybe he very often felt like a stone that was rejected. Maybe we as Christians feel the odd ones out in our community or in our family. Certainly when I was a teenager, one aunt of mine up in Scotland and I were the only Christians in the family. Now they're like a clan. Thank the Lord. But it's easy for us to feel like we're been put aside somewhere. And Jesus obviously resonated with that. Jesus, verse 17, not only identified with, but had to go through, "The Lord has punished me severely, but he didn't give me over to death." But for Jesus, he even did that. And that must have felt like abandonment, though I don't believe God did abandon him for a minute. But Jesus voiced it, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And usually that's taken as, oh, God forsook him. But I think Jesus knew his Bible better than that, because the psalm from which, "Oh God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" is a psalm that ends in triumph. "You didn't forsake me. You brought me through." And I think that's what Jesus was clinging on to. "It may feel like it, but I will not trust those feelings. I will trust the Lord." And that's how we get through these difficulties. Gavin invited me to think about things that have happened at St. John's with thankfulness. But I think as soon as we start doing that, you'll say, it doesn't seem like that to me. Because we're a very interesting church at the moment. Some of our members are wanting lots of change. Some are saying, oh, not too much change too quickly. Oh, would you like to say a few more words? it depends on our background. It depends sometimes on our temperament. It depends whether we like excitement and change or whether we like calm and steadiness. My father, my mother. My father was always the same, whatever happened. My mother was up and down according to what had happened. So what's the answer there? If we go to our gospel, Jesus ends this thing about clothes and all the things we want and need and so on. He says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Now we might think, looking at Britain at the moment, well, today's trouble is plenty. But we're Christians. We're following Jesus. He had endless troubles daily. Like the roof falling in. But he gave thanks to the Lord for his good, for his steadfast love endures forever. One of my favourite stories is by a lady called Monica Baldwin, who was Stanley Baldwin's niece, and she felt called to become a nun, and did. Joined an order and lived with them for 20-odd years, I think. And then she felt that God was not wanting her to do that any longer, and she wrote a book about it called I Leapt Over the Wall. She laicized, as the phrase goes. And when she was outside the convent, she went to her local church, Catholic Church, almost congregation nearly sort of 90% Irish, all in poor jobs. And she recalled one time when it was winter, and everybody was snuffling and sniffing and coughing, and children were fretting and so on, as noisy. And she was there, and they were singing what she called Father Faber's unctuous hymns, Victorian piety at its basic. And she was complaining to the Lord about the environment for this Mass. She was Catholic. And she said, and then he said to me, the priest took bread and wine and prayed to the Lord that it would become the body and blood of Christ. Interesting, isn't it? It goes with the gospel, food and drink. And she said, I saw the stupendous miracle that God takes the ordinary, transforms it into our food, and we go away satisfied. And so she forgot her environment, she forgot all her frets and her furies and her anxieties. She just said, thank you, Lord, you're here, miraculously. I said the psalm begins with a fourfold repetition, but if you've got your Bible open, you'll see that the last verse, just for good luck, it's thrown in a fifth time. You're my God, and I'll give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. It's that contentment in God which we can have anywhere and at any time. If Jesus had it on the cross, we can have it where we are. It gives us the calm and the peace that we so much need, instead of all the quarrelling and bickering and fighting that there is in the world, to solve our problems, even our deepest problems. Amen. Father, we pray that you would help us where we are and help us this morning. Help us to help one another. Help us to receive the help you offer. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.